Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Good afternoon. Before I start, I would like to say that with the passing of Tommy McDonald, just our thoughts and prayers go out to his family during this time. So keep the family in your prayers.
Has also Jeffrey been cleared for contact yet?
Not yet. Good. I say good. We're still honestly evaluating him today, probably tomorrow, and I'll probably have a better update for you on Wednesday, quite honestly. So he's still being evaluated. Yeah.
With so many players who had a late start to their season, including Alshon and, you know, yesterday with Carson coming back and Jason Peters not having much of a preseason, does it feel like you know what you have yet? You know, what you're going to have in October, November? Does it kind of feel like preseason still?
I think we have an idea of the personnel. Sometimes sometimes it feels like you don't know the identity maybe of your offense. With those guys, you know, you kind of have hopes and you kind of say, okay, this is what we think we have. And individually we kind of know these guys, but collectively as a unit, I think you're still working through the month of September, trying to kind of figure out your identity a little bit offensively.
Is that weird? I mean, usually, you know, unless you go to the Super Bowl, you get like that extra month for guys to get back. Maybe Alshon starts game one if you guys right. are done in December. Is it an unusual feeling? You've been around for
Yeah, it's a little unusual. But it's okay because defense, I look at it too, defense and special teams kind of carry the load early in the season, and offense kind of plays catch up just a little bit. And then when the offense catches its stride, then you got a good thing going. And and the other thing is it's a long season. And we find ways to win these games early, makes a big difference down the stretch when you start getting your guys back.
So I heard you on the radio this morning mention that you spoke to the ref about the holding, the defensive holding on the line, and then you get that penalty later in the game. How strategic is that, and how do you have to sometimes hold back and kind of pick your spots to point things out to refs?
It's common practice. I get a chance to meet with officials before the game. I get a chance to meet with the head referee during pregame. You know, they come over and talk. And listen, it's a tough job. And if there's something out there that we see, they want to know about it, you know, so they can get it right. And it's not strategic. It's not, you know, planned in any way. It's something that we have we saw throughout the game. And just wanted to bring it to their attention, and obviously it was a true hold on Lane, and they got it right, and so that it's not a competitive advantage other than we just want to make sure everything is officiated correctly, and if I'm sure Frank had things on their sideline too that he can talk to them about, and it's fair game, so to speak, and it's just common practice throughout the league.
Players go down a lot of times. They talk about the mental reps that they're able to take. When you look at what Carson was able to do this yesterday on Sunday and what he was able to do beforehand, were you able to see any improvements maybe in his leadership or his decision-making on the field from his time off the field?
Yeah, I think that a lot of his, you know, preparation through his rehab and conditioning and just talking with players, talking with his guys, helped him yesterday. And you know, he's such a competitor and he studies the game so well that, you know, was it a perfect game? No. I mean, there were some flaws and there's some things that we can coach and he can get better at. But I think it there was really not a big drop, you know, in what maybe people had expected, you know, but at the same time, it's about what we expected, you know, and now we just, we go up from here, and it was a great game for him to play in, obviously. But I think his time on the sideline, big picture, definitely helps, and it helps moving forward.
Because he is such a young quarterback, where do you see the most room for improvement in his overall game?
Well, I think it just continues he continues to grow with just the situational things, you know, in the game, and you know, he brings such a competitive impact to our offense and a toughness and things you want to see. I mean, the third down scramble for the first down, obviously, are great plays. The third and nine scramble to Nelson are great plays. And, you know, those are things that we know he can do. And then at the same time, we just want to make sure that you know, one, we're coaching him properly and he's seeing things properly to maintain. You know, because we talk about situational ball all the time. And it's, you know, it's short yardage, it's goal line, it's third down, it's red zone. It's all those situations that pop up. And he continues to grow there, and we just continue to teach and continue to progress. And I think too, you know, we're all learning every day, every week. Players, coaches, we all continue to grow, and that's where he's at, and he can continue to get better.
Doug, we expect to have Alshon practicing fully this week, and the reason I ask is because you guys had him listed as questionable heading into the game. So does that mean he's like, you know,
He's getting close. So we'll get him in the mix again a little bit more this week and see, you know, see where he's at health-wise. Yeah.
When you look at Jalen Mills, obviously a couple penalties, the big play down in Tampa on the first play. But then you see the tackling, the physical play, pass breakups. What's your takeaway from his overall level of play these first few weeks?
You know, Jalen has actually been playing extremely well. You know, the flags yesterday, obviously – he's got to get his offhand. You know, he's got a right or left hand that's going for the ball. The offhand is in a position where he's hooking. You just got to, you know, be cognizant of that and aware of that and try to get it off. But he's always in position. Seems like he's right there to make the play. He's physical. He's tough. He can come up and make tackles. I mean, he's been solid, quite honestly, at the corner position. Gives you stability on both sides with he and Darby. So, again, a young player that's going to continue the more snaps, just get better and better. He's going to understand, you know, the game a little bit more and his technique and really provide a spark defensively from time to time with you know, pass breakups.
What about his ability to, when he does give up a play, to kind of forget about it? How important is that for a young corner?
I think with any athlete, any player, especially a young player, the quicker you can forget about it and move on, you know, the better you're going to be. And he can do that. You know, he can really, whether it's a flag or a pass or something, that he can just forget about it and move on.
When you start a game in no huddle, are you giving Carson control at the line of scrimmage? Is it still the scripted plays? How do those things kind of work hand in hand in a game like that?
Yeah, the first play is scripted that we want to start with, but after that, it's just. It's me just calling plays into Carson based on what we want to do and how we want to attack. And then we did have a kill system built in, you know, so he could manage the run game a little bit that way. But definitely wanted to start the game no huddle that way for him.
Mike Wallace, you were down a deep threat, and you drafted Shelton Gibson to sort of fill that kind of role. So why is it that Shelton can't get on the field?
Well, right now we're just, without getting into a lot of scheme stuff, you know, we just felt better yesterday with some of our 12 personnel, some of our 13 personnel, kept them in base defense. They did jump into nickel a little bit because then we were in our 12 and 13 personnel being able to run the football. So it's just the way the game kind of unfolded just a little bit. You know, Shelton's a young player that's continuing to grow and get better with the offense. And we had a package of plays for him yesterday, you know, just didn't get to him.
How were Carson's checks when he did go to the run?
How were they?
Yeah.
They were good. Yeah, they were good.
Did they have to do it a lot in the game?
No, not really. I say a lot. I mean, it's just the structure of the defense allowed him to get from, you know, one side to the other based on the front and the coverage and stuff we prepare and work on all week. So he was good with them.
To the side, you changed the direction?
Left to right, yeah. Right to left.
How do you feel about the young running backs, the
way they played yesterday.
I thought they both played extremely well, extremely tough. All three of them really put Josh in the mix, too, with a couple of carries that he had. But, you know, Corey and Wendell, both core special teams players, and then turn around and play offense. And it's tough to do. And both these guys did a great job, you know. And Wendell runs hard, runs tough. Corey the same way. They're young players. They continue to learn. They continue to grow, get better each week. And it was good to see.
I'm expecting to get a Jay. What progress have they made in terms of the pass game, both as the receivers and blockers?
Really well. They're smart guys. Deuce does a great job preparing these guys, you know, during the week. With protection is tough because we got so many different protections in the course of a game. And just understanding where – and it all starts with, obviously, the center, the quarterback, where we point and all that. But they're real sharp, and they know how to either break off a route, you know, and go get their protection, or, you know, just flat out go get their guy, you know, and they do a really good job.
You have up 5 sacks, several pressures. What were some of the issues you had in protection?
You know, it's a little both. Meaning it can be the quarterback a little bit. There's really three things. One, offensive line gets beat, sack happens. Second one is quarterback hangs on the ball or tries to scramble, you know, gets sacked. Or the third one is just a flat-out coverage. You know, they got you wired and you're trying to extend the play. So a little bit all three of those actually yesterday with the 5 sacks. And a couple of situations, maybe you just throw the ball away and skip it and not put yourself in that situation. But they're all teachable, they're all correctable, and we'll learn from them.
Some of those on Carson that it doesn't need to get rid of the ball, maybe.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I mean, there's some on the line, there's some on the quarterback, and there's some on the defense. So it's all three phases really affect sacks.
Yeah. 3-yard pass to Smallwood. He was out of the backfield. You had some jet sweep action. What made that play work, and why did Wendell find space down the field?
Yeah, you know, it was just a play that we actually have had in our playbook since last year, and didn't really get to it, but. It's opportunity with the jet sweep. A lot of teams, and we run a lot of jet sweep action, and it really just buys their eyes defensively on the jet sweep action just a little bit, and allowed Wendell to slip past the defender, you know, down the seam, and yeah, we caught him in the right coverage, and it was a great catch, great throw, great catch by Wendell.
Doug, one of the hallmarks of this team the last couple of years has been guys coming off the bench who haven't played much or at all and playing well. What do you do and what do your assistants do to kind of keep guys involved during the week and also on game day who aren't playing so when they do go in, they're ready?
Yeah, I think we do a great job. My assistants do a great job in practice during the week, giving these guys reps, you know. Just examples with the running backs, you know, if Jay and, you know, Darren don't practice, then obviously Corey and Wendell and Josh, they all take reps in practice, so we simulate the game best we can in practice. If Jason Peters can't go, Big V gets those reps, you know, or, you know, you're getting Isaac center reps or whatever it is, and you just keep preparing these guys each week, and same way on defense, you know, you're getting the young guys in there to play, and that's the only way they can get better, because a lot of times, you know, practice reps is all they get. They don't get many snaps, if any, in the game, so it's a credit to the you know, assistant coaches to prepare everybody and not just the starters.
Are you expecting to get a Jai or Sproles or both back this week?
Yeah, they're both day-to-day right now. We'll evaluate them again on you know, tomorrow when the players are in and see. But I would expect, barring any setbacks, that they would both be available.
Played so much in the first 3 weeks, 87% of the snaps. Is that sustainable?
Yeah. Sure. Why not? He's playing extremely well. I think too, with Derek Barnett, you know, and some of the rushes that he's getting, Chris Long playing well. I think it just helps it helps Fletcher. You know, Haloti's in there taking some load. So, you know, it's a combination of guys that can allow Fletcher to have the success. And then it's just him. It's just his want to. It's his will to be a dominant defensive tackle, and that's what you're seeing right now.
Carson's two turnovers.
Well, the first one just eyed up Zach, just stared him down. You know, just can't do that. Just, you know, brought the defender right there. You know, just a poor decision. And the second one just getting ready to throw, so he was separating, you know, and ball, his arm got hit by their 6'8" defensive tackle, and just got out. So, you know, try to learn from him, move on. Okay, thanks.
First game back, just take us through how you felt getting back on the field, and how do you evaluate
the play? I mean, I felt good. I felt good to finally be out there. It's kind of a long time coming, obviously. A lot of excitement, a lot of emotions, but coming out the way we did with that hot start going right down the field, going some no-huddle tempo, I felt good. Felt good.
So when that no-huddle and tempo, is that something you requested? What did that give you guys to at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, Doug and I talked about it early in the week, and thought it would be something just kind of get me started, get the offense started, get us all starting fast, and he trusted us with it, and it, obviously the result was a good one.
So the turnovers at the end of the game, do you attribute those to rust or just poor decision making?
Just decision making. I mean, the interception, the guy made a great play. You know, it's a route we throw to Hurts all the time, and he just read it well, and I gotta be smarter with that one. The other one is unfortunate, stepping up in the pocket, getting the hit. You know, you got to clean up those things. Obviously, you never want interceptions, fumbles, especially when you're backed up like we were. Put our defense in a couple tough situations, but they stepped up and played a good football game.
Game-winning drive, 17 plays, but a lot of them, you guys were behind the sticks. A few players said that you brought them together at one point and said, you know, had words of encouragement, I guess. What was the message you wanted to convey to the guys there?
Yeah, I mean, just in the middle of a drive, especially in that situation, you know, I think it was just we had the sack and then the holding, I think it was, and it was all of a sudden second and 30 or something like that, and I just told the guys, let's get half of this. Let's get at least half of this, get us in third and manageable, and just stay together. Everyone was kind of, you know, all up in arms over the holding or whatever it was, and I said, hey, just stay together, let's stay on track, and next play we had the holding, defensive holding, pick up the first down, and then we were rolling.
So you weren't able to get very many big plays today. Was that with the frustration set in at all, or did you kind of expect that coming in?
You know, credit the Colts defense on that, honestly. You know, I thought they played, did some things different than we saw on film, and really just forced us to drive. You know, they played a lot of soft zone coverage and forced us to take a lot of things underneath. So really credit the Colts defense, and at the same time, we just played our game and put people in the right spots. Obviously, you saw us with a lot of 2 and 3 tight end personnels out there. So that's kind of part of the game plan, knowing what the Colts like to do.
At any point, were you thinking about your knee? I mean, you dove at one point on the sideline. Were you thinking about the injury at all?
Not at all.
In the second quarter, when you made that dive first down, can you describe that play? And is that indicative of your willingness to play with the same abandon you played with before you got hurt?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just a normal scramble to me. You know, obviously, you made a guy miss in the pocket and saw the first down marker and go for it. Pretty standard for me.
What did Dallas Goedert show you today?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Dallas, he showed me, first of all, he's a smart football player throughout training camp. And then, you know, being able to go the no-huddle stuff and getting him in different situations, getting him in different spots, making calls at the line, checks at the line. You know, he was very instinctive and good football player and obviously came up big with a couple plays.
Managing emotions leading up to this game after such a much anticipated debut.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty well. You know, I thought obviously emotions were running high from the moment I woke up this morning. But you know, for me, I was just putting on worship music and just getting in the zone like that. It just felt like another game at the end of the day.
How did you feel to get your first hit today? Get you bounce right back up. How the nerves calm down?
Felt great.
How did the running game help you today? It looked like that was a real focused effort, too.
Yeah, I mean, the running game was huge. You know, we had a lot of no-huddle kind of checks at the line based on what we were getting coverage-wise, and they were playing a lot of soft zone coverage. So, you know, the running game helped us a lot in the passing game. And, you know, obviously we're down a little bit with Sproles and Ajayi out. So getting Wendell, getting, you know, Josh Adams going, and then Corey. I think those guys all stepped up and played a good football game.
As a follow-up to that, all the skill spots were pretty far down the depth chart. What effect is that having on the offense overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of football. You know, that's part of football, and then I think that's where good coaching comes into play and getting our best guys out there. You know, obviously you saw us a lot with 2 and 3 tight end personnel out there tonight, and I think that just was indicative of those injuries and just finding a way to just get our best guys on the field. And, you know, coaches does a great job always just scheming things up, getting the right guys in the right positions. And so, unfortunately, you don't want injuries, but at the end of the day, you got to adapt with them. And I think coach has done a good job with that.
Some of you guys had trouble getting the ball to Aguilar, but on that last drive, 2 third down conversions out of him. you know, both were with yards after the catch. What were the plays? You have the third and five, and there's a third and nine, and yeah. What did he do to make this possible?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, obviously Nelson today obviously didn't get a bunch going early, and that's just part of it. You know, it's not something by scheme or design. You know, it's just their coverage, and like I said, we had to take some things underneath, and the tight ends, all of them kind of stepped up and played a good football game. And you know, on third downs, I mean, those ones late in the game, Nelson just always has a feel and being in the right spot. And so he's a guy, you know, especially like him and Zach are two of the main targets that we look for on third down. And he stepped up there at the end.
How much to watch your defense stop him in the red zone? How much did that fire your offense up?
Yeah, I mean, I think we both feed off each other, you know, offensively. Seeing our defense just continually step up late in games like they have, even going back to last year and then the first game of the year. Today, just that gives us a lot of energy and excitement on the offensive side, and knowing that if we just put one together now, that defense is going to get a hold, and that's what they did.
Was there a play or a hit that you took where you said, "Okay, shoot, I'm relieved now. I know I can do this." There were a couple times where you got hit, a couple scrambles you made, a couple times you were very elusive in the pocket, left, right, left, forward, that sort of thing. Did any of those register like, hey, that's great?
Not really, you know, because at the end of the day, I've been doing so much in practice, you know, whether you guys saw it in training camp or I was off to the side with the trainers or whoever. I've been doing so much of that stuff for a while now. Obviously, getting hit was new, but I felt like riding a bike, getting hit and popping back up again.
Teammates have mentioned different times in practice, different plays where they said, all right, Carson's back, there's going to be no limitations. Was there a play like that for you in the past, whatever, 3-4 weeks?
I don't think so. You know, nothing really sticks out. You know, it was a lot of going against the defense as a scout team quarterback. That was a little new for me, but yeah, just I felt good for a while. It was just good to finally get out there.
Carson, how much was it nice to get this first one all the way for you? How much was it important to get this first one done and just be down back on focus?
I mean, it was huge. I mean, obviously, it's huge to just pick up a win in a hard-fought game with some tough conditions out there. Guys really rallied around each other. The resilience, I thought, was huge today. You know, we had, like we talked about, that long drive at the end. We had some really unfortunate situations we were in second and extra long, third downs. The fourth down, you know, it's a couple things, and guys just stayed together, and then the defense stepping up at the end, that was huge for us to get us back on track.
You mentioned soft zone a couple times, looked like a lot of cover too. This was an emotional game for you. It's 9+ months. Was it kind of a little bit harder to not want to press and seeing that cover too?
Not really. You know, I like to think I'm mature enough as a player to just take what they give me. Obviously, they had some that might have fooled me. Coverage-wise and kind of tricked me a little bit, but that's football. That's football, and that comes with it. And, you know, that's a good defense over there.
Was there anything that you were curious about that you sort of how you would respond that today sort of told you or anything you got learned that you did not know at this point?
Not really. You know, not really. I think once I got back out there, got that first incompletion out of the way, kind of threw that one down the field a little aggressively. We were rolling from there. Thanks, guys.
Hey, I'm Anil Dash, and I'm the host of a new show called Function from the Vox Media Podcast Network and Glitch. This season, we're talking with experts about why our voting machines are so bad and how that might hurt our elections. We'll also talk with an animator to find out how popular dances from the real world end up in video games. And we're going to tackle the biggest question in tech. Why do so many celebrities use screenshots from that Apple Notes app to make their public apologies when they screw up? You can find new episodes of Function every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And thanks to Microsoft Azure for sponsoring Function.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.